Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Tuesday, everyone. So nice to have you here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as always, I have a special, amazing guest who is on the show. And we're going to be talking about his and his co-author's latest book, which is entitled The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. There's 13 of them. Golden Pearls that they have discovered in order to live a better life and make it through life. So let me give a little bit of an introduction here with my special guest, who you'll be able to see on the screen, if not right now, Dr. Alan Leica. He's an amazing man. It's so nice to have you with me here, Dr. Leica.
You know, it is such a privilege and a pleasure to be here. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh. What a book. You did such an amazing job on this book, and you and Harriet came together in such an interesting way that I love, and I'd love to hear more about that. We're going to be talking about what you had to overcome and also what Harriet had to overcome in order to really get together to reveal this book. It took a little while to put it together. The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, because you both went through horrific experiences. And I hear these stories from amazing authors and healers such as yourself about how they've overcome so many things in their life. But man, you both had such trials and tribulations you've gone through. So we're going to be talking about some of those golden pearls of wisdom that you discovered in order to be happier and healthier. And what we're also going to be talking about are some specific points to those pearls, because boy, you nail it with so many things, and especially what we're dealing with today with COVID-19. I mean, all of these, you know, things that we've had to overcome in our lives, no matter what they are, really become more profound now that we're dealing, you know, with the COVID-19 too. So we'll touch a little bit on that. But first of all, welcome to the couch, Dr. Leica. And
what an interesting day. I bet you it has a lot of stories.
There's a lot of stories here, Dr. Leica. And, you know, I'm a shrink, so it's natural to be on the couch here with me. Right?
Well, I hold nothing beyond, you know, in my previous life.
Yes.
I was a psychologist, by the way.
You were?
Oh, yeah, one of my many hats I've worn was I was a psychologist. So, you know, we share a lot in our history, you know, because you being a psychologist and you being a psychiatrist and me being a psychologist, We have a lot in common.
We do. And actually, I am just a psychologist. I wish I had the MD behind my name, but I chose the easy route.
Well, I don't know if that's easy or not. I wanted to be like Bob Newhart when I was in that phase. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would be an interesting, wonderful way to be. After doing that for a while, I ended up in med school. I decided to go that route because I just thought I could help more people and I thought I could do more. But, you know, psychology was wonderful. But things would be interesting. But, you know, we should start on my story. And we should on the beginning of my story.
Yes.
And I want to take you and my audience back to 2003.
Okay.
I was walking with my wife and my youngest daughter in Disney World. in Disneyland, the happiest place on earth.
Yes.
Yes, it is, you know.
It is.
And it was the end of a hot, sticky day. Mm. And my wife turned to me and said, "What's wrong with you, hon?"
Uh-oh. Yes.
What do you mean, dear? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Uh-oh.
Dear, it's the end of a hot, sticky day. We're in Disneyland. It's wonderful here. What do you mean, what's wrong with you? Listen to your foot.
Okay.
Okay. Dear. I haven't got the faintest idea what you're talking about. Well, listen to it. Okay. My right foot had mysteriously and suddenly developed a foot drop. It was flapping on the pavement with each step.
Had you ever noticed that?
Yeah, it was something that I didn't notice. It was something that just happened out of the blue. Mm-hmm. You know, your brain is designed not to have this to happen. Your brain is automatically programmed to make your foot work properly. Mine wasn't.
Oh, no. Oh,
so my wife then said, you know, when we get back, you better get this checked out.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you do when your wife tells you that?
Oh, you do it. Happy wife, happy life.
You don't have a choice. you just don't have a choice. When your wife puts all it on the line that way, you know you're getting it checked out.
Right.
So I get back to Edmonton, Canada, my home, and I go and start seeing doctors. I must have seen 36 doctors in a couple of weeks. And, you know, doctors like to do these things called tests.
Oh, yes.
So I had brain scans. I had CAT scans.
Oh, my goodness.
I had PET scans. Mm-hmm. I had scans. And you know what they showed at the end of the day?
Mm. What?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
And you know when doctors see absolutely nothing, what they do?
Yeah.
They do more tests.
Right.
They don't want to be looked like a fool.
That's so a good thing.
More tests. Sure. So at the end of that, I had about a gazillion tests. I had a $1 billion workup. I was the $1 billion man, you know. And it was
good.
A challenge. You know, so good. At the end of all this, I ended up on a doorstep of a world leading neurologist. Mm-hmm. Now, a neurologist is a brain guy. He's the guy supposed to have all the answers to these funny problems. And you know, people thought I had a brain problem, so they sent me to a brain guy, and I ended up on the doorstep of a brain guy, a neurologist. And I walked in, and I said, "Hi." The neurologist said, "You better be sitting down when I tell you this."
Uh-oh. Yes.
Yeah. I said, "What's wrong?"
Yeah.
"I've got a dropped right foot."
Right.
He said, "No, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease."
Oh, my God.
"Get your affairs in order. In 6 months, you're going to be dead."
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, you had no idea. You were a medical doctor yourself.
I'm a medical doctor. I'm a dermatologist now. But
one of the world's leading dermatologists.
Some people have said that. I'm always overjoyed when they say that. But, you know, even with all my training, all my knowledge, I wasn't prepared for that.
Right.
So I asked him, "Is there a way to prove this diagnosis?"
Yeah.
He said, "Of course, an autopsy."
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Neurologist, for that information.
Dr. Bedside Manor, you're just beyond belief.
Dr. Bedside
Manor. Dr. Bedside Manor, beyond belief. And I was really angry, so I shot back at him, "I'm not going to die to prove you wrong."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go through this, though, you've just had a tremendous bad experience. You've gone through this.
Oh,
and you really realize that you're going through a state of loss. Loss is really what's going through. When people go through a loss, you go through a grief reaction.
Yes.
You know, a grief reaction is something that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a lot about in a book called On Death and Dying.
She did.
She did. A beautiful, intelligent lady. Five stages. And the first of those is anger. Anger.
Yeah.
Anger.
You didn't deny, did you? You didn't go
well,
through
Well, you know, that's one of her other steps.
But yeah.
You know, anger right at the beginning for me was the
way I responded. How dare you?
I was angry at everything. Yeah. I was mad. I was, you know, my staff really must have had a lot to deal with because I was angry every day. I was just mean. I was nasty at that time. I was angry.
Who wouldn't be? I mean, come on now. That's such a scary thing to deal with.
And the next step that person Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about is denial. You just mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, denial isn't just a river in Egypt. Denial is something that you deny things. And you really start denying that you had the diagnosis, that there was something wrong. And you start working harder. You start working really hard. And I worked really hard. You know, at the end of this, I was going to have something, if nothing else, to show for it. And I would prove that I was right and they were wrong. I was denying everything. I was denying everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think right now in the world, there's a bit of denial going on. You know,
you think
we've got this COVID thing going on, but people are saying, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to wash my hands.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have a party on the White House lawn.
There you go.
And you know, there is none of this COVID stuff. There's none of that.
And what's spatial distancing? What is that? Why should we do that?
Well, that's a funny concept. You know, that's a real funny. I don't know what that is, and I don't know why we'd ever want to do it.
Oh dear. Well, that's, you know, you're right. I mean, you nailed it. That's, you and I, we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
and another thing is bargaining. Another thing is bargaining.
That's part of the stage. So how did you bargain? I mean, what were you saying?
Like, you know, I was saying to God, you know, God, don't let this happen.
Yeah.
I will do anything if you won't let this happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, please don't let this happen.
Absolutely. You know?
And then the other phase, the last phase, actually there's two more, but the last phase I went through was a depression. Depression is one of those ugly, ugly phases. That's when you lie in bed in the morning, stare up at the ceiling, and don't want to get out of bed because there's really, you know, everything's black, everything's gloomy, everything's nasty, everything is ugly, everything is not. And, you know, this is the last phase I went through, the second last phase that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said.
But
last phase is acceptance. I knew in my heart and hearts there was something else. This diagnosis of ALS, this diagnosis of Lou Gehrig's disease just wasn't right. It just didn't hit right.
Right. You knew there's something going on within you intuitively that you knew that, no, I'm a warrior. I'm where I'm at in my life. I know medicine. I know my body. But just something intuitively.
Oh, as I said, I'm a doctor. My wife's
this guy. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, so I went to my doctor wife and I said, dear, what's wrong? What's wrong with me?
You never ask your wife that.
Well, you know, she said something interesting. Yeah. She said, I haven't got the faintest idea.
Wow.
But then she said, you're smart. Mm-hmm. You can figure it out.
Right.
You're smarter than all those other doctors. You can scare. Thank you very much. But I'm still confused. I still don't know what's going on.
Right.
But you know, back in 2003, something new was invented.
Mm.
It was called the internet. You ever hear of that thing?
Yeah, sort of have, you know. So,
you know, we didn't have Dr. Google yet. We didn't have any of these other amazing things, but we had the internet. It was so primitive then, you had to use something called dial-on connections.
Right. I remember.
So that's showing our vintage ages.
Yeah.
But, you know, that thing was interesting. You put your phone on a cradle and it would go for something like, seemed like forever. It was probably about 15, 20 minutes.
Not too annoying, right?
And your phone would connect to the other side.
Yeah. You know? Right.
And this was a very primitive system. It was so good. I had a lot of nerds, friends, and they helped me with this. So they got me doing this. And because of their help, I found out somebody who had a disease very similar to mine, but he got worse much more rapidly. Hmm. His name was David Martz, and he lived in a little place in Colorado, just north of Denver, Breckenridge, Colorado.
Yeah, and,
I knew that this man might help me. I knew he might because he had a story similar to mine. So I got in touch with David through the help of my nerd friends and through that
internet. Out to him.
And we got in touch with him. And we talked for hours.
Wonderful.
And then he said, "Dr. Leica, can you come and see me?" I said, "When?" He said, "Right now." Mm. And I thought about it. I said, "David, I can't." Mm-hmm. He said, "Why?" I said, "It's our Thanksgiving Day up here in Canada."
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're having 50 people over. My wife's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Well, David then said, "Aren't there any planes in Canada?"
A cheery fellow.
Cheery fellow. Maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Aren't there any planes in Canada?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So I knew I had to get down to see him. I knew I had to do
it. My goodness. Yeah.
So I go to my wife, and I tell my wife, "Dear, I'm sorry. I won't be here for Thanksgiving." "Well, where are you? Why not? You've been away a lot. You know, you're always away." And I dare to learn new things and do things. But this time, I have to be away. A new friend, might have some answers to my problem. Hmm. I got to go to Colorado, to Breckenridge, Colorado, and go see my friend. Yeah. She said, "He can help you with your problem." I said, "I think he might. I think he said." Hmm. Then she turned around and said, "You know, I'll help pack your bags. I'll help you. You know, of course you must go. I can take care of 50 people.
Of course.
This is nothing. You know."
That's lovely.
Oh, boy. So I got on a plane from Edmonton to Denver. And then I got on another rinky-dink puddle jumper. You ever been on a rinky-dink puddle jumper?
Oh, too many times. Very scary. I don't like those.
At the end of the day, in this area, the air comes off the desert. And it creates something called eddies, which means turbulence.
Yeah.
You know, on that plane, it was a short flight, only 15 minutes long. But it was the plane from hell. It was like a roller coaster ride. It was like the drop of Zoom. It was like the most awful ride ever you imagine. The drop of Zoom at Disneyland, and the drop of Doom at Disney.
Right.
A bit like this. And but you know, you go up and down once. This thing, you went up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down.
And you're thinking to yourself, maybe I'm going to die in this puddle jumper before, you know, the ALS gets me. Right.
Well, you know, this was it was the worst ride I've ever had in my life on a plane. And it was like, everybody was green. I was green. It was, don't go on that plane. Please,
no.
But, you know, I got off the plane and there was David to meet me.
Oh.
A miracle had happened. It was 2003. Yeah. And back then, there was none of this high security. It was
not
like it is now.
Of course.
David was there to meet me. Oh. I crawled off that plane.
Yeah.
And he said, "Let's, Barry, you're not looking so good."
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my nickname was Barry. And he said, "Dr. Allen, you're not looking so good. Mm-hmm. Come, we got to talk." And we talked for hours. And he said, "You know, I think history is repeating itself."
Oh, wow.
He said,
"That's amazing."
And really, the history was this. David was on his deathbed. He was really ill. Mm-hmm. The doctor came up to see him, and he figured him out. Mm-hmm. And David, like Lazarus, arose from the dead. He really was a minute. And here it was going again. I was like Lazarus.
Yeah, right.
So I literally was.
David had been diagnosed with ALS as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he had similar symptoms.
Just like me, he had diagnosed with ALS.
No.
But just like me.
So what?
A doctor came to see him and figured out it was a wrong diagnosis.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well,
so he shared this information with
you? Oh, yeah. As I said, David said history is repeating itself.
So,
history is repeating itself.
Well, that must have been a relief, and you wanted to find out more about what do you mean? I mean, this is, so I don't have ALS, do you suppose?
Well, the answer is, if you ask 20 different doctors, you get 40 different diagnoses.
Oh my gosh.
Medicine is not always black and white. It's often gray. Mm. And figure one out and try to put everybody in it and try to make everything work. It's a square peg, but a round hole.
Right.
If it's a round hole, everything, the square peg has to fit it. Mm. And all we have is the round hole. So all that square peg always has to fit the round hole. That's what we got, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what had happened to me. You know, that neurologist that saw me was trying to put a square peg in a round hole. He said I had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Sure.
You know, he was wrong.
Thank God. Yeah. So you, when you arrived in Colorado and you had these meetings with him, you felt lighter, you felt happier, you felt...
Well, you know, it was...
How did you deal with that?
I really felt a great weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Yes. I really felt there was an answer to my problem. Mm-hmm. I really felt that all of a sudden there was something that was going to help me that had eluded me up to this point. But you know, you go through this, your life starts to change. You start all these things. And, you know, my life all of a sudden became differently. Mm. You know, what did I have, you might ask? Mm. You know, the working diagnosis is something called chronic Lyme's disease.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
You know, back in 2003, nobody knew what that was and stuff like that. Just like David was misdiagnosed, I was misdiagnosed as well. 2003, we didn't know everything about everything. There's some doctors that think they do, but we didn't. You know, doctors, when we really try to figure things out, we have something called the differential diagnosis.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you as a psychologist, when you get a person in that isn't behaving properly, you try to put the pieces together for that. You know, you give them a diagnosis of psychotic, okay?
Right.
But you really mean there may be seven other things on the list.
Right.
But that's what you're calling it right now.
Right.
Because this person's acting like this, and this is how we're going to treat it, because if we could put it in this category, these are the things we can do for it.
Right, exactly. And they're meeting most of the criteria for that diagnosis, seemingly.
Yeah.
But they're like, there are other possibilities. So.
Yeah, now chronic Lyme's disease is a very difficult diagnosis.
Oh, I have patients who have gone through hell with that. I mean, terribly.
Well, and the thing about chronic Lyme's disease is it's not like things that you can figure out easily. It's you know, it looks like a dog and barks like a dog. It's a dog, right? But this is not a dog. Yeah. This is not the same sort of thing. This is could be a cat, could be a chimpanzee.
Right.
We're going to call it a dog and make it look like a dog, act like a dog, because it's sort of like a dog. But and that was like my diagnosis and things like that. It was like that. We really did not have all the answers. We did not have all the pieces. We did not have everything. They called me ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, because that's the label they put on me.
Yeah.
There were a lot of other things it could be.
Right.
I think and feel I had chronic Lyme's disease.
Right.
Because I've been treated for that and I've done well. I've done extremely well.
That's the proof is in the pudding, right? Well, I mean, that's
back in 2003, I was told I was going to die and be dead in 6 months. you know, I'm not dead and I'm not dying and I'm not Dutha. But
and
you know,
thriving.
The good things that happen.
Yeah. But with me, Dr. Michelle, my special guest is Dr. Alan Leica. He and his co-author, Harriet Tinka, have written an amazing book. We're talking about his journey, which led him to write this book, along with Harriet, his horrific journey of being misdiagnosed with the disease. The book, by the way, is called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, right? I mean, we all, come on, guys, this is one of the best. It's got great stories in it. It's a work. They're called golden pearls, actually, to really help you survive trauma. And Harriet's also, you know, had her own set of trauma. We can share a little bit about that as well. And this is why you guys both came together and met. Was it a conference or what? Was it some kind of a
speech? Let me go into that. Yeah. For me, yeah. You start to change. You start to figure things out. You start to look for patterns. You start to do things. And one of the things I decided, I've tried to do, was to give back to society. I really thought
beautiful.
That, you know, I wanted to make things better. I wanted people not to go through what I've gone through. I wanted them to do things better. And so I started to pay more attention to people and do things and give back. I was fortunate as a cosmetic doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to do well, but I wanted to give back
well.
Also. Yes. So what I did at that time is I sponsored a contest called the Women of Distinction Contest for the YWCA.
Oh.
So it was to honor women in our in the Society of Edmonton. It was
that's wonderful.
They, you know, women really do deserve a lot more credit than us guys do that way. I thought we should honor them, and I wanted to honor them. So with the YWCA. We did this. Now, one of the people that applied was an amazing lady by the name of Harriet Tinka. Mm-hmm. You'll find out more about her in just a second. Mm-hmm. But Harriet applied for a category called Turning Points.
Mm-hmm.
And this award was a big award and so on. She turns out she won the category. She got
That's
this.
That's amazing.
She was acknowledged as a woman of distinction.
Wonderful.
She was acknowledged for this. And
yes.
It was amazing. But, you know, Harriet tells the story like this. She said, she goes through and says, you know, my life was difficult. She said, I was a world-class model, she said.
Yes.
One of those runway models.
She's beautiful. I mean, magazine. I've seen her in magazines.
Oh, she's truly amazing. And, you know, she's one of the most humble and kind people you'll ever meet.
Yes.
And what has gone on, what went on in her life is being a model, she decided to go into a different career because she was getting tired and burnt out in that, and she decided to go to the University of Calgary and do something else she loves, which is accounting.
Lovely.
Okay. Now, when she did that, a mean person started to become infatuated with her.
Oh, dear.
Okay. And when he became infatuated, he got to a point that she had to get a restraining order against
him. Oh, I bet.
Because he was really overboard.
Stalking her, threatening her.
She was being stalked and threatened and just going through it to the point that she just had to stop this thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But one day she was late at the university doing her work, and she decided to go home.
Mm-hmm.
She was not totally aware of her environment and so on. Mm-hmm. She was going home. She got in an elevator and somebody attacked her from the back.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. They grabbed her around her mouth. They grabbed her and said to her, "How dare you put a restraining order on me? How dare you?"
Mm.
Immediately she knew this was her harasser, stalker. She really understood that.
Yeah.
And he said, "Do exactly what I say or I'm going to kill you right now."
Oh, poor thing. Oh, what a shocking.
Well, the story even gets worse from there. Oh, and yeah. I apologize to your audience and you because it gets a little bit graphic. But please bear with me as we go into her story because it's very important to understand about our book and everything else. Okay, so Harriet was in this elevator being mm-hmm. attacked by this person. And he says to her, I have a gun.
Oh my God.
I have a knife. And if you don't do everything I'm going to kill you. I'm going to light you on fire and nobody's going to find you. Call your family right now.
Right.
Call your family right now. Harriet says, no. Harriet says, no. He gets madder.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs her. He drags her outside. He has a car waiting for him there, and he throws her into the driver's seat, says, pushes her over to the passenger side. He gets in, and he's driving. And they see a phone booth. And he said, I told you to phone your family. You phone them right now. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tie you up, put gasoline on you, burn you up, and no one's ever going to.
My God. Yeah.
Harriet says again, no.
Wow. What a brave soul. I think most people would have said, okay, I'll do that. Whatever.
Okay, so the last thing that Harriet remembers is he took a knife, and a big knife, a hunting knife.
Oh my God.
Picks it up, and he jammed it into her right thigh.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. The next thing Harriet remembers is she is in a hospital bed. Okay. Her parents are around her. You know, she's traumatized to no end. She's gone, this is truly post-traumatic stress event if you've ever seen it.
So he left her for dead and pushed her out of the car, basically, right?
And Harriet didn't even know how she got to the hospital.
Right, right.
Afterwards, the police told her that somebody, unknown person, dropped her at the hospital.
Wow.
She thinks it was this person, but she doesn't know.
Ooh.
And... Ooh. You know, she was at the hospital then. And
right.
At the hospital, she was, you know, obviously we're at the hospital in a Johnny gown and so on. And a lot of this is in the book, so I want people not to get the whole story here.
Right,
I want them
exactly.
to get all the pieces of stuff.
Sure, sure.
The thing is, she was in a hospital in a Johnny gown. You know, those are the most awful things in the world. And she's in a situation, and a little girl wheels up in a wheelchair. Says, what are you doing here?
Oh.
Harriet tries to ignore her. She doesn't really want to have anybody around. This little girl is really insistent, really insistent. Her name is Amber, and she says, you know, what's going on in your life? What's going on? Why are you here? Oh, boy. Harriet didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
What to say. But she knew she couldn't ignore her any longer because this girl wasn't going to do her. So she tells her story the best she knows how. And she tries to sanitize it because this girl's only 9 and she doesn't want to tell her something that's going to mortify her too.
Scary, right.
You know, it's scary stuff. So Harriet says, you know, I was at an event and something happened to me. And from there, the girl said, you know, I'm going to tell you my story. My parents died in a car accident. I got hurt badly. My legs do not work. I'm in a wheelchair because I can't work. But this girl is so chipper and so...
My gosh.
And she turns to Harriet and said, Harriet, you know, you're having a hard time right now, she says. I had a hard time. But you really need to live your story. You got to own it. You really got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to use your story to help others, like I'm trying to do. So Harriet's there in the Johnny gown and so on. And she's right there in this waiting room in this hospital, and she decides she's going to give back.
Mm.
So one of the things she hears about is the contest I was running. So she decides to apply as a woman of distinction with the YWCA. So Harriet decides to become... to try to be this. And, you know, she wins the award and she comes up to me after and she says, Dr. Laika, thank you so much for hosting such an amazing award. Mm. He said, you know, we should have lunch sometime.
Right.
No, she just wants to talk and talk.
Sure.
We talk at that luncheon that she has carefully arranged for me. She buys me lunch. she's reminded me. She buys lunch. Right. And she always reminds me of that now. You know, I bought you lunch, Dr. Langer. And she said, maybe we can write a book sometime.
Yes.
So catching up on all this and
trying
to put this all together. This is what has been going on in our lives for the last 6 years.
My goodness.
We have been writing and rewriting that book. Yes. We've met multiple times since that time.
She's beautiful.
One of the most amazing persons I've ever met and had the pleasure to be in my life. Mm. And truly, we have written this book called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, based on 13 Golden Pearls. Yep. But this is really about the things we've gone through and all that. There's one message, and it's the message we have to everybody. It's not what happens to you. Right. It's what you do with what happens.
Exactly.
And everybody living right now, they need to remember this.
Right.
Because that message is something you have to have in your heart and soul right now. That message is something right now in this day and age you have to remember.
Absolutely.
It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
That's right.
This is really what it's all about. This is the space we're in. And this is what's going on. We're dealing with a difficult, chaotic world right now.
We are.
It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
Beautifully said. You know, by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today is Dr. Alan Langer. He has written a book with an amazing woman who he was just talking about as well. And it's Harriet Tinka. The book's The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. I want you to pick this up because you're going to learn so many amazing things about how to survive trauma in your own life, not to mention what's going on in our lives right now. And it's about Dr. Langer and Harriet. They are two survivors. He just finished telling fabulous stories about things that they had to overcome and how they have survived. But they're giving you in this book amazing pearls of wisdom. They call them 13 golden pearls that they've discovered to help you. And as Dr. Langer just said, it's not, you know, the horrific things you've had to experience. It's how do you deal with these things, you know, that have happened to you? And that's the important thing.
And Michelle, you know, in this book, there's a lot of interesting things, and we base it on golden pearls. And do you know that golden pearls actually exist?
You know, you have an explanation. I'd love you to share what that is about, why you chose that.
For people to understand a little bit about our book and our whole things. It's an image I want people to understand and I want people to know. No, golden pearls actually exist. They're in the South Pacific and the Indian areas. Now, a golden pearl is really something that comes about of these amazing little oysters that live in those areas. And these golden pearls come about because a little grain of sand gets inside of this oyster shell. Mm-hmm. And the oysters don't like it. So they get traumatized.
What
they do, interesting enough, is they put this material called luster around. And this lustrous material makes a golden pearl.
Yes.
So in other words, trauma produces a golden pearl.
Yes, beautifully.
And you know, when we look at it, and Harriet's in my life, our trauma produced golden pearls.
It's so
These
true.
Are golden pearls of wisdom.
Yes.
Golden pearls that everybody can use in their
life
and make them beautiful without the trauma that we went through. Little bits of knowledge and wisdom that people can have and understand.
Yes. And you talk about the 13 golden pearls. You know, we were talking a little bit about victimhood. We usually go to being a victim, especially like we talked about earlier in this time and day of dealing with COVID and the political unrest and the financial issues in this country, not to mention the world. But I mean, how do we get out of that victimhood? Well, what is it that can uplift us into, okay, I'm going to look at this differently?
Let's go back to that little thing I said. It's not what happens to you. what you do with what happens.
Okay.
So you can't, if you're a victim, you know, you don't need to be a victim. It's right. Not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
Yes, so true.
Victimhood is something that occurs, but you don't
right.
choose to be a victim.
Right.
You can choose to be a victor. You can choose to not be a person that is a... Now, victimization happens, but you don't have to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose not to be a victim.
Yes.
You're something more than that.
Right, we are.
That really is, and I know you as a psychologist deal with people that mm-hmm. are victims all the time, or people
sure.
who are victims. But really, they don't need to be in that state, right, Michelle?
I agree. Part of our work, you and I know you were a psychologist before you became a world-renowned medical doctor, dermatologist, surgeon, plastic surgeon. And, you know, now, of course, you've kind of changed a little bit up to spread the word. You have more books coming out, I know, and we'll be talking about that just a little bit as well. But, I there's something I find even more so than, feeling as a victim. What I experience from a lot of patients is them telling me, I'll never forgive what someone did to me, such as Harriet's trauma. I'll never forgive the doctors who misdiagnosed you. Or I'll never, how do we move out?
Well, you know, one of our golden pearls is a pearl called forgiveness. And what forgiveness is something that's really something we feel that it's necessary.
Yes.
You see, when a person gets bitten by a snake, it's not the bite that kills you. Mm-hmm. It's the venom that keeps going on inside your body that does you in. It's that poison that keeps going on. You see, the way out of this trap, the way out of all of this is forgiveness. The way out of forgiveness is one of our golden pearls because it helps you get out of victimhood.
Yes.
It helps you get out of these situations
right.
that you're being. So we think forgiveness is one of our primary golden pearls. It's one of those things that help. And you know, the thing about forgiveness that's really amazing, it's not for the other person, it's for
right.
you.
Right, absolutely.
It's really about you. It's not about the forgiveness. It's not about the other person. It's because of you. Because it frees you from the things.
Yes.
You see, Martin Luther King Jr. said, darkness cannot get rid of darkness. Only yes. light can do that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
and that's something right. I think we have to realize as well.
Yes.
That it's something yeah. that helps people in their lives, and forgiveness is one mm-hmm. of those primary golden pearls yeah. that help them in all ways and all circumstances.
It is. It's beautifully said, and somehow you nailed it. I mean, teaching not only forgiving others for what they've done, but I think it's so important first to forgive ourselves for the pain that we suffered within of, you know, that part of bargaining in the, the Kubler-Ross stages of grieving.
I have a very complex story here, and yeah. I've told a lot of pieces of it, and some people might have got lost in some of it, but I tried to say it slow enough in such a way. I've tried to say it as a voyage of discovery. Like
love
it. Remembering what I was talking about, and you really... It was you that was on the journey with me. Right. I wanted you and your audience to be mm-hmm. part of that journey so mm. that you can understand what I go through.
Yes.
Things in my book. Everything's right there. And
it's beautiful. It is everything. I mean, such wise suggestions, such wise thoughts. And also, I wanted to mention you and Harriet developed what you call grit. Through adversity. And that to me was, I loved reading about that. Can you share a little bit more about
that? You know, grit through adversity is something we call persistence or tenacity. Tenacity mm-hmm. is another one of our golden pearls. And it really comes about when you don't give up, that you keep trying and are hardworking and it's something. Grit comes about because you go through the situations and don't give up. You just are persistent. Your grit is is a result, but it's because of the actions you take. It's stuff you do. Tenacity is the quality, the trait that you have to have to make that count.
Right. And the tenacity also comes from a lot of self-forgiveness and self-empowerment and understanding that you do have all the tools you need within you to overcome anything.
You know, we talk about roots and golden pearls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of them there.
I know. They're beautiful. All the stuff
we're really talking about. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens. Okay. These are things to empower you and take you through the path you're going on. Yeah. These are things that are really meant as something that helps you along the way. These are things that are just fundamental parts of living that you can seize upon and use in your daily life to help things happen.
Yes. And also something that you talk about is one of the 13 golden pearls of wisdom. And, you know, it's choosing to love when you're recovering from disappointment, when you're trying to get over trauma in your life. And those are the stages that everybody sort of goes through, plus other ones, you know, and they're not necessarily, you know, in order. I mean, we keep coming back to possibly denial or anger or whatever, how long the process takes to go through those things and allow those things.
You know, all of that is absolutely true. And all of that is what we try to get in the entire part of the story. And we all, you know, this little book that we have here, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, is really meant to be something to help people, something for people to turn to. It's meant to be a directory. It's meant to be a guidestone, a guidepost. And I'd like to give something to your guest today, if I may.
Oh, love it. We would love that, wouldn't we? Yes.
Well, one thing I find useful is to have little things that help me in my everyday to go. And I'd like to give your guest a golden pearl every day. So 52 love of it. Them, one every day of the week for the next 52 weeks. And 717-2515, the word golden's pearls. Text me the word golden pearls.
Perfect.
1-819-717-2515. And your audience will get a golden pearl every day and something to help them along the way.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And these golden pearls are pretty amazing.
They are.
A little bit of help right now. Have you signed up for that?
You know, I'm going to right now. I just wrote it down. Area code 819-717-2515. And you can go ahead and text golden pearls to Dr. Alan Leica. Dr. Leica, we're sort of running out of time here for the show. Unfortunately, it's gone so fast. I just thank you so much for your amazing story.
It's such a pleasure to be part of your audience and help them and being able to tell them my story, help them, to lighten them with the things that went through me to help them along the way. And I really, really am glad of that. And, you know, if people would like more help and all this, you know, this book that we talked about, we can get it at Amazon.com or Amazon.ca.
Right.
The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. It's based on those 13 golden pearls we talked about. And if they go there, I'd ask them to do one thing. And that's if they do purchase a book, if they can send me the receipt, take a photocopy of it or a picture of it and send it to me, because if they do that, I can help some others. And one thing Harriet and I have decided to do is to give some something back to charity. And we want to help people that have been hurt and harmed. And we will help this to help people that are having difficulties. And we will give 20% of the profits of our book to help them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In that situation.
Thank you so much. And I'm not surprised. I mean, you are such loving individuals who practice what you preach. And again, this book is amazing, guys. The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life and the 13 Golden Pearls that will help you overcome things that have gone on in your life. Words of wisdom, so much in this book. And check it out. And we'll have more information about how you can get a hold of Dr. Leica's and Harriet Tinka's book as well when we get off the air. All righty. Dr. Leica, thank you so much for being such
Michelle,
an amazing
again,
guest
it was
today.
An honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you for having me. This was amazing for me. I hope I was able to help you and your audience. And I hope that in the future we can correspond again and help them. And you know, Harriet is a delightful person as well. She couldn't make it today because of the emergency. Oh. So I would ask you to maybe have her back again. That might be something that'll help as well. She has a different part to the story. I only touched on it today, and I asked you for that. And
the other thing, plan on it.
As if you could be on my show as well, I'd love that. If you do have the time, and we'd love to have that. Think about
that. That would be my pleasure. I don't even have to think about it. I'd love to be on your show.
Okay.
It would be my honor.
Well, baby steps. Remember, it's there. Not you go. What happens to you? It's what you do with what happens.
There you go. And with that, have a good day, and blessings to you and all you do, Dr. Laika. Thank you so much for being on the couch.
Blessing to you. Thank you.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to know about how to get a hold of the book, you can, of course, email me here at the station, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. All right, everybody. Thanks for being on the couch, and do take care of yourselves first, and be careful.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.